Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, girls do indeed want to have fun here on the Dark Main Event presented by KayfabeCorner.com. My name is Steve DeMaine, and as always, alongside me is my co-host, the man of the hour, Joshua Presley. Josh, say hi to the nice people.
What is going on, Internet? How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fantastic. What an interesting week we've had, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's been a great week, and I gotta say, I'm kind of sad that you cut off that song a little earlier. I was bumping over here, man.
I know you were, and I'm sure that we have some new listeners this week. I want to welcome them in because they are here to hear the exclusive interview we did last night with NWA Women's Champion Casey Carlisle, and that is coming up a little bit later on in the show.
Yes, it is, and it was a great interview. We think you'll enjoy it very much. Casey is an awesome, awesome, awesome person, and it was great.
It absolutely was. But before we get to that and all the other awesome segments we have on the show, we have some stuff to talk about. First and foremost, I think the biggest news story of the week is John Cena was hurt overseas, at least supposedly, in a tables match with Ryback. He injured his Achilles, and he was on Raw last night. He looked okay, but Josh, this could be critical for WWE if the injury is worse than they think.
Oh, indeed it could. I mean, you know, he did that heel turn a couple weeks ago when he was dancing, and all of a sudden he's hurt, you know. So people got their wish, and look what happened. But yeah, like you said, it could be pretty critical. I mean, if he can't work the pay-per-view, then they got some scrambling to do in less than 3 weeks now to do it. That could be bad.
Indeed, it could be. But it looks like he's okay. I mean, when he was out with the Make-A-Wish kids last night, he was walking around fine, and he was kind of selling it during the match a little bit. But I don't know if it's that bad. But with Achilles injuries, they really have to be careful, because if he tears it for whatever reason, he's out for a year. I mean, Edge was out, he was gone for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless, Dr. James Andrews down there in Alabama can work some RG3 magic on him or something, then yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Since we're talking about Raw last night, let's get to that a little bit. I didn't get to see much of it since, you and I were both doing the interview, but I saw a recap. And it doesn't look like we missed a whole lot. I mean, Fandango was out there doing a dance-off with Khali. Did they just blow off the show?
I kind of feel like they did. The three-hour format is way too long, and they're obviously having trouble doing it. Like you said, they had the dance-off. They had a freaking tug-of-war, three of them, actually. And then there's some other crap that they did. They had a Domino's pizza commercial that lasted for like 5 minutes and basically proved not to order from Domino's because they'll just deliver it to somebody else after taking forever to get pizza. It was definitely something that looked like it was worth missing, to me anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing with Caitlyn and having a secret admirer, and everyone got the jobber entrances, but the Make-A-Wish kid got plenty of time, which was nice. I mean, I'm not knocking that. That was a great segment, and it got me teary up and all that. But it was like, you have a pay-per-view in 3 weeks. I understand you want to make these kids' dreams come true, and that is fantastic, and I'm jealous of them, and I'm happy for them, and I hope they beat this disease. But I don't know. I mean, everyone else just got short entrances, and it just felt really awkward.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely, like you said, it was very awkward. It looked like they had, a lot of time that it had filled, that maybe they just kind of messed around all week when they were in Europe and didn't really think about what they were going to do for the show. I don't know what they were thinking or what was going on. Maybe, there was, something else behind the scenes that they had to scramble with, but it just wasn't worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, the main thing was the handicap match with John Cena and Ryback versus The Shield. And, again, I didn't get to see it. I just got a recap from what it sounded like, though. Cena was selling the injury a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I kind of saw a little bit. I was kind of busy, with the interview you know, making sure that that sounded all right and everything. So it's kind of just kind of had like one eye on it maybe with the sound down. And it looked, you know, I saw like maybe he was limping a little bit. He definitely had it taped up. Although, like I said, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it, so I can't really comment on, you know, whether he sold it or no sold it or anything like that. But yeah, he you know, kind of limped on it a little bit, so they told a little bit of a story there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to see where they're going with it, you know, with the rumors that The Undertaker's going to wrestle at Extreme Rules now, and, I mean, they're just in disarray with no Punk, and Miz is coming back for, I guess, 1 week next week. I guess he was off filming a movie for ABC Family for some Christmas special or something. I have no idea, but they're just, they have no roster, and the rosters they do have, they're not using.
Right. And, you know, the fact that they've still got the part-timers doing stuff, I mean, you know, Undertaker, yeah, is one thing, I guess, but, you know, you got Triple H and Lesnar in another rematch. Neither of them were even on TV last night, I don't think. Yeah, I mean, this is just, I don't know if it's just a WrestleMania hangover or what, but...
I'm not sure. I mean, usually, I mean, the build of last year to Extreme Rules was fantastic. You had Lesnar coming back and the whole Lesnar-Cena angle. And I was really into that. And it,
right.
This year, just everything just feels so lackluster. I don't know what they're doing.
Right. And, you know, I honestly don't want to, like, put all the blame on him, but I feel like maybe the Rock situation just kind of threw a monkey wrench in everything they had planned, and they just had to scramble and redo everything. And maybe that's what, you know, where we're getting this subpar product.
It's certainly possible. I mean, The Rock was advertised for some time to be at Extreme Rules. We're not sure if it was in a wrestling capacity or in a host, quote-unquote, capacity, but he was scheduled to be there. And for some reason, you know, he just, whatever happened with the injury, and maybe you're right, maybe they had to scramble, I don't know. But it seems like WWE just has no build to this pay-per-view. You're right, Triple H and Lesnar were not on the show last night at all, not that I've got the recap in front of me here.
Yeah, right. And, you know, like I said, with Rock, maybe they just had to reshuffle everything from top to bottom, and, you know, it just hasn't gone the way they planned. I haven't seen ratings yet for the last 2 weeks, and I don't really, you know, care about that, but maybe that'll show that, you know, them that they're doing something wrong, and maybe they'll start putting out a better product here pretty soon, you know, building up to the pay-per-view. But if not, barring some kind of miracle, I don't think that the Extreme Rules is going to be worth paying your hard-earned money for to buy on pay-per-view.
I would definitely agree with that. And since you brought up the ratings, I did see some of the ratings for last week's show. And a couple of things I found interesting, this is a show from London, was Fandango versus William Regal, I think lost something like 1 million viewers or some crazy number like that. It was terrible.
Really?
That segment really dropped it. And then the Divas Battle Royal, believe it or not, gained 330,000 viewers or something like that. How, I have no idea. But
I'm betting the Kleenex company gained 330,000 buys, too, during that. Hi-o,
booyah. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what the ratings are going to say for this week. I didn't see much of it, so it's hard for me to comment, but it just felt really,
yeah,
really rushed.
The general consensus that I've read on the group, kayfabecorner.com, or facebook.com/kayfabecorner, and then just, you know, around the internet, it was not a good show.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, you know, like we said, anytime Kali and Fandango have a dance-off, you're probably missing some stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's the week that wasn't Raw. We talked about the Cena injury. I guess we could talk about Payne and Gain a little bit. Payne and Gain, if you guys don't know, opened up this weekend, and it stars Dwayne Johnson or The Rock or whatever you want to call him, and it got number one at the box office, so he must not be hurt too bad if he's out there tweeting that he's fine, and I guess Hercules is being delayed, but I don't know. I mean, Payne and Gain did really well.
I actually didn't see the box office numbers because I don't really pay attention to that stuff. If that's the case, like you said, good for him. You know, maybe he should just stay making movies. He's good at it, apparently. He makes his money there.
Yeah, absolutely. He did do an interview with Peter Rosenberg. This was either last week or the week before that said he, quote-unquote, might have wrestled his last match. I don't buy that, but it looks like he'll be out for some time.
Well, I kind of hope that he has, because personally, I could care less if I ever see him back on WWE TV again.
Oh, that's a harsh opinion that you have there. I mean, The Rock did big business. He got the highest grossing WrestleMania match in history for WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, true, but I mean, it's just, it didn't entertain me, honestly, and I know a lot of people would disagree with me, especially, you know, the more casual fans that, you know, aren't as into it as we are. And you might even disagree with me here, but to me, it just didn't entertain me. I didn't care for any of the stuff he did last year. I didn't care for any of the stuff he did this year. You know, the stuff leading up to the matches themselves. I even thought, you know, the two CM Punk matches were subpar. And I, you know, have a boner for CM Punk on a regular basis, you know, and even CM Punk didn't get a good match out of it. So it wasn't my cup of tea. I wasn't down with it.
Yeah, and the only reason I would disagree with you is because The Rock not holding the championship and not contending for the WWE title, that's fine. If Vince wants to bring in business, good for him. He can certainly do that and make all the money he wants. But The Rock should not be WWE champion at this age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And not only that, but just any part-timer shouldn't be champion at all. You know, if they're not going to defend it at the house shows or, you know, appear on TV with it every week or, you know, even mention it in interviews on, you know, Tonight Show or, you know, whatever, then they have no business holding any championship, much less the WWE championship, in my opinion.
Absolutely. All right. That is our Raw recap for this week. We are going to move into one of our favorite segments on the show. Ah, yes, that must mean it is time for Girl Meets Wrestling. And for you new listeners who don't know what this is, Bethany, who we are going to bring on in just a second, is a casual wrestling fan who hasn't seen a lot of classic or gimmick matches that have happened in WWE. So what we do on the show is we give her a match every week, she watches it, and she gives her casual fan opinion on it. So we do have Bethany on the line. Bethany, say hi to everybody. How you doing?
Hi, boys. How's it going today?
Great. How are you?
Oh, they're doing okay. Little crazy this last weekend, so we're still recovering.
Yeah,
what's the move?
Yes, Jeremy. Yes, the GM is not here right now. He's actually still at the old place, kind of cleaning it up a little bit. He was hoping to be home in time, but
he had to clean up the stains off the wall.
There's a lot of stains. Yes,
that's what happens when he hears my voice. You know,
he can't help it.
I'm saying.
He cannot. Well, whenever you get a chance to talk to him, just tell him we missed him, and he'll be on next week, I'm sure.
Oh,
but,
yes, definitely.
We are not here to talk about him. We are here to talk about you and the match you watched this week. So, Josh, why don't you tell everyone the awesome classic match that we are surprised Bethany had never seen until now.
Yes, indeed. We picked the King of the Ring 1998, I believe, Hell in a Cell match between Mankind and The Undertaker. If you watch wrestling and you're into it like we are, you know what we're talking about. This match really needs no introduction for people like us. So you know what, Bethany, just go ahead and get into it. How'd you feel about the match?
Oh my God! Like, I was pissed at myself for never seeing that match before either. It was by far one of the best matches I've ever seen, which again does not say a lot. But it was. I wanted to thank you guys because it really opened my eyes to. Just how crazy it used to be, especially, like, I mean, just starting right off the bat when when Mankind jumps over and lands on the table. And I did get a little backstory. Jeremy did tell me a little bit about how that wasn't planned, you know, because you have to approve everything in the back now. You have to approve everything up front. But it had not been planned for him to do that, and he just did it anyway. And then the fall in the ring was just crazy for me to see. And I told Jeremy, too, I said, there's something in his nose when he fell on the ring. I was like, there's something in his nose. What is it? He's like, yeah, so that's his tooth. And
yeah.
I was horrified. Horrified, but just I loved watching it. The entire fight was really good. You know, Jeremy kept giving me little bits of insight, like I guess The Undertaker had a broken foot or something like that. And so he even jumped down into the ring on a broken foot from the
right.
cage. So
mm-hmm.
It was insane, and then the tax. So Jeremy showed me this DVD a long time ago, and it's not WWE. It was some indie type show where it was really, really brutal, you know, and taxed and almost. It might have been. I don't know. I don't remember the acronyms, but it was brutal.
Was it horrible? Was it horrible wrestling? 'Cause, yeah, that's CZW.
Okay. Yeah. It was terrible, but it was brutal, and there were tacks in every match. It seemed like, and barbed wire and stuff like that. And he had showed me that, and there was a bunch of blood and stuff, and it reminded me of that. You know, seeing all the tacks and everything like that. And then Jeremy was telling me about how in the back, you know, when they were picking the thumbtacks out of his head, he looked at somebody, I think his brother or something like that, and looked at him and was like, hey, did I ever use those tacks? Like, that's how out cold he was. It was just, the entire match was amazing. I cringed a little bit, and there were no pretty boots, but, you know, all in all, solid, I would give it 6 out of 5 hair flips. Like, it was the best match I've ever seen.
Yeah, we were very surprised that you had never seen that match. I mean, we know you're a casual fan, but anybody has seen that. And the fact that you're watching it after you started watching wrestling, you can appreciate that. There's just so much about that match. Mick Foley talked about it in his Hall of Fame speech. Terry Funk talked about it when he was inducting him. I'm sure The Undertaker will talk about it. Everything after Mankind getting thrown off the top of the cell was not planned. And JR just made that match so much better, and he doesn't get enough credit for that. I mean, those calls are historic, of course. You know, somebody stopped the damn match, and they killed him. You know, God is my witness and all that. But JR, if he wasn't there and it was anyone else doing that match would not have been as good as it was.
No.
That's true.
And a couple things that I don't think, you know, really come across while you're, you know, watching the match, but, you know, I've read about him. Mick Foley's talked about him. When he went through the cage, when he got chokeslammed through the cage or whatever it was, the chair that was on the cage, I don't know if you can see that in the actual video. It's been a while since I watched it, but the chair that was on top with him comes down and hits him in the face after he hits the cage.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, and then when Terry Funk gets in the ring to try to, like, keep Undertaker away from Foley, he gets chokeslammed, and Undertaker actually chokeslams him out of his shoes. And you can see his shoes laying on the mat after.
I didn't see that part. I have to go back and rewatch it because I didn't notice that.
Yeah, Terry does get chokeslammed out of his shoes, literally.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, I can't believe I had never seen that either, really. And, I mean, look at who I'm married to. And you would think that, well, maybe he just assumed that I had already seen it before because he never mentioned it either. You know, he was just as surprised when I said I had never seen it. He was like, are you kidding me right now? You've never seen this? And so it was very exciting. Very exciting match for me to see. I did see the chair. I actually rewinded it so I could watch it again because I was like, did that really just hit him in the face? And then, you know, rewound it and looked, and it did. And that was when you could see, you know, the tooth in his nose. And there was another part in the ring where he's, like, full-on face leaning up against the cage, and it looks like he's smiling. And the commentators kind of played on that as if he was smiling. And I guess it was revealed later, like Mick Foley was talking about it. He's like, no, I wasn't smiling. I was actually trying to get a tooth out of the open hole in my lip. And
yep.
So he was kind of like pushing at the back of it. And it just, it gives me chills. It was incredibly good. I apologize. I don't have my notes here, so I'm kind of all over the place. But Mick Foley has always been, like, ever since I read his one of his books and, you know, started watching, Jeremy would show me some classic matches with him, and he just became one of my favorites. I instantly fell in love. Like, he's just the sweetest thing. He's, you know, the happiest, go-luckiest, you know, human being, and then he's a beast in the ring. And it just made me, like, love and respect him even more, so much more after seeing it.
Yeah, that's the match that a lot of people felt that way with, again, you know, him throwing Undertaker throwing him off the cage, and, you know, then through the cage, and then attacks, and then just everything, and that was it. I totally got respect after that from anyone who saw it, and everyone felt a lot like you do now.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for showing me that.
Absolutely. Oh. Not a problem.
Do you guys have more ideas for matches you want me to see next?
Oh, absolutely. Josh and I are going to get you into some awesome gimmick matches and stuff that we want you to see because it's just so out there that you have to watch it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and actually just sent Steve an idea for one. We're going to discuss it after the show, I think. But I think he'd really like it. It's one of my personal favorite matches. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later, and, you know, we'll get back to you.
Sounds good. I will look forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot for doing your weekly segment, Beth. We appreciate it.
All right,
yeah,
no problem.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah, definitely. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks,
all right,
Beth.
Thanks,
bye. That was our weekly segment, Girl Meets Wrestling. We do that every week here on the Dark Main Event Podcast. If you guys have ideas, you can join our Facebook group, facebook.com/thedarkmainevent. We have a thread in there to suggest matches for Girl Meets Wrestling. If you have something you want Bethany to review, let us know. We might just choose it. Right, Josh?
That's right.
That is right,
oh,
indeed.
Yeah.
Thanks for just saying that's right and then stop talking. You know, that's perfect. I love when you do that.
Hey, you set me up for it, man. What can I say?
I did. It's true. I'm good at that, setting jokes up in a dead air and whatnot.
Most definitely. In addition to the Facebook page, facebook.com/thedarkmainevent, you can check out all our other content at www.kayfabecorner.com with awesome editorials by Steve here called The Main Event. His most recent article was, I believe, about Antonio Cesaro's career. Is that right, Steve?
That was one of the recent ones. My most recent one was about the booing at the Hall of Fame ceremony with Maria Menounos and Bob Backlund.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. My mistake.
It's quite all right.
But in addition to that, there is also some great satire there that I write that I personally think is hilarious, but, you know, I might be a little bit biased. Awesome wrestling interviews with Jeremy Staples, our boss. And, you know, links to the show if you missed it, and that's probably about it. But, you know, it's good stuff. You should go read it. Go check it out. www.kayfabecorner.com. The best wrestling site that you've never heard of.
Until now.
Until now.
Well, now that Josh is done doing all his plugs, Josh, I think a lot of people are listening in for one specific thing. I wonder what that is.
I don't know. What we're going to, like, talk about some kind of something or other. Oh, you know what? We did an interview last night.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. It wasn't our sexy voices. It was our exclusive interview with NWA Women's Champion Casey Carlisle. We know you guys want to hear it. We're not going to hold it up anymore. We want to give you guys this interview right now. So please sit back, enjoy, listen, and here we go with the NWA Women's Champion. All right, everyone, this is the Dark Main Event. This is Steve. Along with me, as always, is Josh. Josh, say hi to everybody.
What's going on, guys?
And we are very, very excited to have our first guest here on the Dark Main Event. If you don't know her, you are missing out. Joining us tonight is NWA Women's Champion Casey Carlisle. Casey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic.
I'm doing great.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah,
thank
we really
you
appreciate you
on.
Coming on the show. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. No, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So we let's just get right into this. We don't want to waste any time because we have so much to ask you, and we're excited to get going. So first thing we wanted to ask is obviously not everyone knows who you are. So for those who might have missed out, who is Casey Carlisle?
Who is Casey Carlisle? Well, you know, Casey Carlisle is that loud, obnoxious person that you just love to hate.
Me too.
You know, it's you, oh, you do? Good. See? That was an accurate description. no, you know, that's just me. It's just, that is who I am. I am the person who will be in your face and be completely obnoxious and telling you exactly how it is and where you fall in the course of things as far as life goes in a heartbeat. So in a nutshell, that is Casey Carlisle, somebody who knows that she is better than you regardless of who you may be.
We love that answer, honestly, because that's honestly us. That's what we do.
It is. That's very
you
true.
You guys like the radio version of Casey Carlisle?
Yeah,
that's
a little
right.
Bit.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. What made you get into wrestling?
I got into wrestling because I fell in love with wrestling when I was a little 8-year-old girl. That's when I started watching it, and from the moment I laid eyes on it, I was just completely, you know, mesmerized by what I saw before me. I was mesmerized by the fact that there was physicality telling stories. I was mesmerized by the good versus evil and the personalities, the characters. This was way back in 1988, you know, so it was a different time back then, and it was a much more defined good versus evil with your specific personalities. And being the 8-year-old girl that I was completely drawn to it and completely wrapped up in it. And I decided very, very early on that's what I wanted to do. I remember telling my parents I was going to be a wrestler. And, you know, it's a love that has yet to disappear from my life to this day.
That's great. Yeah. I remember telling my parents I was going to be a wrestler, and I ended up being a podcast talk show host, so it kind of worked out.
Well, you're doing a podcast about wrestling. That's close enough.
Close enough.
Is it? Well, pretty much the same thing. Oh, I was actually going to follow that up with that. Were there any particular matches or wrestlers that, you know, made you think that's what I want to do with my life?
Not immediately. There was nobody right out of the gate that, you know, that kind of made that decision for me. It was really more of the overall product that I was watching. It was everything that was going on. The very first major event that I remember, it happened at the beginning of February in 1988. It was the Hebners, the evil referee angle with the Hebners, where they screwed Hogan. That was the first kind of major thing, you know, and that was leading into WrestleMania 4 at that time. That was building up to that. So that was the first kind of major event that I witnessed as a fan that really stuck with me. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with that. It just, they took me on a ride that was, even to me being 8 years old, it was incredible. And I knew, you know, something hit me at that point in time. Something struck me, and that kind of stayed with me. So I would look at that as the kind of the pinpoint as far as where I really became obsessed to a point with wrestling. And I really got into it.
That's awesome. Quick funny story, since you brought up the Earl Hebner match, I actually got to meet him at a TNA house show a bit earlier this year, and I asked him about that, and all he could do was just laugh.
You got to meet Earl?
He didn't even, yeah, I got to meet Earl, and I got an autograph, damn right I did, t-shirt. It was $10. It was cool. But I wanted to meet him, and I asked him about it, and he just laughed. He's like, people ask me that all the time, and I'm just not even going to say anything about it.
Well, I've been lucky enough to meet both Earl and Dave, and you know, and I've gotten to meet Brian too. And it's just, they're an awesome family. They're really good guys. I'm lucky to be able to say that I've met them. You know, I can't really say I know them, but I'm lucky to have been able to meet them, knowing that early role that they played in my love for wrestling.
Absolutely, it's always cool to meet your heroes when you grow up loving something like that. So we know you've had a lot of matches over your career. Do you have a favorite opponent that you stepped in the ring with?
You know, it's really hard for me to pinpoint one person because there's different girls I enjoy working for different reasons. You know, everybody has their own style. Everybody brings something different to the table. You know, and I find that I mesh with different people really well for different reasons. You know, I can't really say that there's any one person that I don't like being in the ring with. I like it when there's a variety as far as the opponent goes, where they can bring something to the match that maybe I didn't think of, or maybe, you know, I haven't learned yet, or something along those lines. I just like the challenge of being able to mesh those styles. You know, I mean, there's some girls I've worked more than others, but that's not to say that there's any one person necessarily I work liking better than anybody else. You know, I love being in the ring. If I'm in the ring, then there's not really anything for me to complain about.
Yeah, definitely.
So I was wondering, too, if you had, like, a dream opponent that you could name, past, present, or future, who do you think that might be?
You know, I've always been bummed out by the fact that I grew up, as far as women in the business goes, I grew up really, really having a liking for Sherri Martel. And as I got into the business and as I kind of grew in the business, I was humbled enough to be compared to her many times, even to this day. I've had people compare me to her. And she's somebody that I kind of, when I first started out, I wanted to try to, you know, epitomize her a little bit. And I would kind of hearken back to watching her as a fan and just trying to draw from her personality, trying to draw from how she carried herself. She was very good at keeping, you know, when she was in a manager, the managerial position, she was very good at keeping the focus on what was happening in the ring. And she was very good at enhancing the match rather than being the match, and that was something I always admired. So when I was a manager, I tried working that into my style, and I kind of kept that in mind. But when I started watching wrestling, she was finishing up her in-ring career, and so I also was able to see some of her matches as a fan back then. And, you know, I would have loved the chance to have met her, much less been in the ring with her. I think it would have been an awesome experience for me.
Yeah, Sensational Sherry was just one of those women who just had such a big influence, and I don't think she gets enough credit, to be honest. People always talk about, you know, Mae Young and Luna and Trish Stratus mm-hmm. and Lita more recently, and Sherry just kind of gets lost in the fold, I think, with a lot of people.
Luna would have been amazing as well. You know, I kind of hold her in the same respect. Somebody who, you know, went out there and just, you know, she was a female, but she held her own. And she, you know, of course, she had the lineage, too, coming down through the business. But she's another one that I held in such high regard for all the same reasons.
Excellent. Yeah, I can understand that. And, you know, like I said, Sherry was just one of those women, man, that if you were, you know, as you were a female growing up watching her, that's who you really idolized in that time period, and, you know, managing Shawn Michaels, and she's not around.
Right, definitely. She kicked off a lot of guys' careers and, you know, got them going places that they might not have gone without her.
Yeah, it was a treat to be able to see a female when I was that young, because I had just started watching, and, you know, to be able to see a strong female on the TV like that and just in the business in general, I'm really thankful and lucky, I think, that I got to see that, because there was a period of time when you didn't see many strong females, if you saw females at all. So
for me
to be able to see her in that way, I'm very lucky to have been able to have that experience.
Indeed. So we know you travel. Do you have any really good, like, funny road stories of anyone that you can share with us?
You know, I'm the worst person to ask for road stories because I don't travel with anybody. I'm always, you know, it's always my adventure alone at the Waffle House where the waitresses are getting to know me because I'm there so damn often. You know, it's the few road stories I do have, I really... I'm not going to repeat them because
right.
I want to protect.
Protect the identity of the innocent.
And it's nothing bad or anything like that. You know, it's just a few ribs here and there, but probably less better unsaid.
Fair enough.
Understandable. You are currently the NWA Women's Champion. We mentioned that mm-hmm. earlier. What was it like winning that for you?
It was an honor. It was. You know, it was an honor. I don't really know how else to describe it. When you look at the list of women who have held that title, you know, it's a who's who in many ways of women's wrestling. And to be able to be part of that list, you know, 20 years from now, if I'm ever looking back on it, it's going to be even more of an honor. Just to be able to see the company that I'm keeping and to be able to, you know, have had that hat placed upon my head and kind of, you know, had them look at me and say, you're the one that we want carrying this and representing it. You know, there's so many women in this business that they could have chosen. So for it to be me, you know, I can just hope that I can do that title proud. That's really all I can do, you know, and I strive to do that every single time I'm out there. I strive to, you know, bring respect to it, to hold it in high regard, to make sure, you know, it's right there in people's faces and that it's not something that's just cast aside and kind of, you know, in the dark and in the shadows. And hopefully, you know, I've done that to this point. Hopefully I'll continue to do it more so as the months and the years go on.
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, like you said, the NWA Women's Championship has such a lineage to it with the title just being around for so long. And I believe it's still the only NWA title in existence. Am I right on that, or am I just talking out my teeth here?
Is it what? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
Is it? It's still the only NWA title that's left in existence, I believe. Is that it, or?
Well, there's the Men's World Champion, and
okay.
You know, they've got the Men's World Champion and the Tag Champs and so forth. There's several NWA Men's Champions.
Okay.
You know, they have their world title, they have their world tag team title, but it's the only, there was talk of them resurrecting the NWA Women's Tag Team titles, but to the best of my knowledge, that has yet to happen. So as far as I know at this point in time, it's the only women's title that they recognize.
Right.
Well, now I know for sure.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, it's one of, like, maybe three major women's titles in, you know, North America, it must be, you know, even more of an honor.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there are certain times when I'm in the ring or headed to the ring when I try to make a point to take it all in. And that was one point in time when I made a point to take it in. You know, after when the bell rang and then when it came time for the ring announcer to announce it, I made a point to sit in that ring and to listen to what he was saying and to kind of take that in for a moment because, you know, even if I do lose it and regain it another time, it's never going to be the first time. And that
right.
was the very first
right.
time I got to hear it announced. So, yeah, I mean, completely, you know, I'm humbled that I'm even considered to be great enough to hold that title, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of different promotions, you were able to wrestle at a TNA live event back in February. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was down in Fayetteville, North Carolina. They had a house show down there that night. And, you know, I was about 2 days prior to the show, I was contacted and the invitation was extended. So I walked away that night without having a single negative thing to say about that entire experience. I was obviously thrilled to even be extended that opportunity. It was something that, you know, obviously it's what I'm working towards and it's a goal of mine, but you know, just to be there, to be able to learn from the people who are where you want to be able to get their knowledge, their experience, their feedback. You know, everybody was so nice. They couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been more professional. They couldn't have been more welcoming. It was just an awesome experience. And, you know, it was one that, like I said, that was another one of those moments, you know, where you take a minute to kind of pause for a moment and take a breath and take it in because you don't know if it'll happen again. And if it does, you don't know when. So it was just an awesome experience. And I've been kind of sitting, you know, keeping my fingers crossed ever since then.
Right. So looking at the current state of women's wrestling today, how do you feel that the state of it is right now?
You know, that's a tough question. You know, women's wrestling can be looked at so many different ways, and there's so many different opinions when it comes to it, as far as what it should be, as far as what its worth is, you know, things like that. You know, right now, if you're looking at the TV product, I always look at things differently. I'm very much aware that if you're talking about a TV product, it's always and forever going to go above and beyond, you know, your wrestling skill because it's going to boil down to marketing. It's going to boil down to sales. It's going to boil down to, you know, we have a product to sell and can you do that?
Right.
The indies are looked at a little differently. You know, the indies are looked at more as, you know, they're where you hone your craft. And a lot of times people think that's where the true talent is on the indies. It's hard to say. It all depends on what you're accepting. There's a core of women's wrestling fans who, you know, they want to see the girls just kind of beat the hell out of each other just as much as the guys do. There's a, you know, group of fans that, you know, they probably have been attracted to women's wrestling because of the TNA aspect of it. You know, there's always, women wrestling fans are funny because there's always debates as far as the attire that they wear and their choice in gear and things like that. So, you know, the current state of it right now, I think on the indie level, I think there's a lot of talent out there. I think there's a lot of girls who have no place in the ring out there right now because it's so easy to get into the business and to be thrown out there. You know, on the TV level, a lot of times I feel like, you know, they're there for a reason, and so who's to say that they shouldn't be? You know, they're filling the position and doing the job that they were given. You know, could it have better in-ring skills and in-ring quality? Of course it can, but that can go for the men in some ways as well. So I think it's kind of unfair to separate them and look at it that way. But, you know, women's wrestling is something that it has its ups and downs, just like wrestling in general does. And sometimes you have a really good crop of girls at one point in time, and it's, you know, it's a strong division, and it's what gives you the ratings. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, they're just kind of part of the show and not necessarily the focal point. But, you know, it comes in, you know, it's all that slow. It's up and down. And, you know, it depends on what you want and what you're looking for.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that's a great point. I mean, people just, when they talk about women's wrestling, don't really think about the indie stars. They just think, well, I see the Divas on WWE and on Raw, or the Knockouts on TNA, and that just must be everybody. And it's not, but people just don't get exposed to enough women's wrestling outside of the two major promotions to have a different opinion, I guess.
It's very easy to make a blanket statement and kind of make a generalization. But, you know, and I know of plenty of girls in the indies who will say that they have no interest in going any further. They want to stay on the indies because they don't like what they see on TV. You know, which to me, I'm always striving to, you know, to be at the top. I want to be at the top of whatever the it may be. So to me, it's like I'm always striving to go bigger, to go on a larger scale. Because when I was that 8-year-old girl, that was what I dreamed of. But again, on the indies, you have a lot of talented girls. You have, you know, and sometimes you have to look for them. It's just kind of, you know, it's a matter of being in the right place at the right time. It's a matter of, you know, getting that exposure and working hard. Some people travel all the time. Some people work whenever they can. They're, you know, busting their butts to get that exposure and to be noticed. And some people are comfortable staying in, you know, in their town and working once or twice a month, and that's fine too. But it's just all a matter of, you know, what your opinion is and what you're looking for.
Right. That's a good point. Do you have any appearances or anything like the plug that's coming up that people should know about?
I'm actually really busy the next several weeks. Immediately this coming Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be in Columbus, Indiana, for Hoosier Pro Wrestling. And that's going to be at the fairgrounds up there both Saturday and Sunday. The Sunday show is a benefit for the American Cancer Society. So I'm really hoping that anybody in the area who might be listening will be able to make it out to that. The following weekend, I'm going to be in Mill Creek, West Virginia on Saturday the 11th for Pro Wrestling Mid-Atlantic. And I'll be wrestling Jesse Kay that day at Tigert Valley High School. The weekend after that, I'm going to actually have an NWA title defense down at NWA Houston on Friday, May 17th. And then I'm scheduled to be at the NWA branded Outlaw Wrestling the next day in San Antonio. And at the end of the month, I will be in Wendell, North Carolina for Omega. It's going to be on May 25th, and it's a fundraiser for the wrestling team at the high school there. It's at East Wakefield High School, and it's a fundraiser for their wrestling team. So that's what I have coming up the next few months or the next few weeks. But, you know, my schedule is on my website, which is caseycarlisle.com. Everybody can go on there and check it out. I have dates listed right now through, I think, August. So they can go on there and check it out and see where I'm going to be and when and make sure they come see me sometime soon.
We are going to post that on our fan page as well, facebook.com/thedarkmainevent. And we will make sure everyone gets there.
Yeah, and I definitely encourage anybody to come out to the shows if, you know, even if I'm not going to be there, you know, if there's an indie show in the area, I always encourage people to come out. If it's one that I'm at, I make it a point to be out during intermission anytime I can be and to meet all the fans and interact with everybody. I'm very appreciative of the fans who support me and who support wrestling and come to the shows because if they weren't there, you know, I wouldn't have a show to wrestle on. I wouldn't be able to do what I love to do. And so I really encourage everyone to come out and, you know, just enjoy the night. And, you know, I always hear people have great times at these indie shows. So if you haven't ever come out to one, you have to very, very soon.
Absolutely. And if those fans want to get in touch with you over social media, what's the best way to do that?
You know, I'm on Facebook. I have a regular profile page that, sadly, because of Facebook's wacky rules, is full of friends right now, but I do allow followers, so you can subscribe to my page. I also have a fan page on Facebook. They can find that and click the like button and keep up with me that way. I have a YouTube channel, and I am also on Twitter, @CaseyCarlisle, so they can follow me there as well. And of course, my website. I even have a contact form on my website for anybody who might want to fill that out and shoot me a little message. And I, you know, I handle everything myself. So any emails, any messages, anything like that that goes through, it comes directly to me, and that's who the answer comes from. So I try to be as interactive with everybody as I can be.
Well, fantastic. That's great. That's a lot of ways to get in touch with your fans. Josh, do you have anything else you want to add?
Other than just thanking you so much for agreeing to do this with us tonight, I'm good.
You're more than welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for wanting to have me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Casey. We do appreciate you. And anytime you want to call in and check in with us, you're more than welcome to. We will be here.
Excellent. I will do that. I'm going to call in and say hi to you guys now and then, so be ready for it.
We will. Right. Look out.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys very much.
Thanks a lot,
Casey. Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was NWA Women's Champion Casey Carlisle. That was indeed our interview with NWA Women's Champion Casey Carlisle, and Josh and I again would just like to say, Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to do that interview with us yesterday. You were fantastic. We loved having you on, and please, anytime you want to call in, we really do mean that. Call us. We're bored.
It's just pretty much just us, and we could use someone to talk to.
We really could, but guys, go check out CaseyCarlisle.com, follow her on Twitter at Casey Carlisle, like her fan page on Facebook, like she said, and just really check out some of her matches if she's ever in your area. It's totally worth it. She's a kick-ass wrestler.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I was telling you last night after we were done, if she's ever here where I am, I'm in Nebraska, if she's ever anywhere near here, I will make it my business to go see her. We don't get a whole lot of indie wrestling here, but if it's ever here or anywhere close, I will make that trip, definitely.
Absolutely. I will do the same if she's ever in New York. So, Casey, get out here. I want to go see you in a match. But that was our interview. We hope you guys enjoyed that. And it is now the portion of the show where we are going to take some fan calls. So if you guys want to call in and talk to us, it is 347-838-9944. Please make sure when you call in, tell us who you are. And if you want to include where you're from, you can do that too. But we don't want to get confused with people who we think it is and then it's not, like we did on the first show when Josh thought Bethany was Jeremy.
Well, you know what? It was close. They had the same last name.
It was close.
So,
you're right.
Don't call me out, okay? That ain't cool.
Whatever.
Eve.
Whatever. Again,
that
phone
is your real name.
The phone number is 347-838-9944. That is my real name, jackass. Get it right. And we are waiting to talk to you guys. We want to hear your opinions on Raw, on the interview with Casey, on the John Cena injury, anything else you guys might want to talk about. We are
pictures
very
that you've seen
now
of us on the internet.
We do have an hour to kill, and we do have our first call. Let's
that is
unmuted.
Am I live?
Oh my god!
Hello,
hi. This is Steve DeMaine. I just wanted to say hi to everybody.
Wow, Steve DeMaine. Yeah.
Wow.
You sure
you're Steve
DeMaine? Three of us. Pretty sure there's three of us.
Four now.
Four. Shit.
Yeah.
We're like
multiplying like bunnies.
You know what? I don't think you're me at all. I think you're someone.
No. I'm me. I'm me. I'm just Steve DeMaine.
That doesn't sound like Steve DeMaine's music to me.
No.
Fine, busted.
Sounds like Brett Beaver's music.
Yeah, it's fine. You got me.
Hey,
I'll
what's going
come
on,
clean.
Man?
What's going on, guys? Pretty good interview. I enjoyed it. Unfortunately, this last 5 minutes, little breakup drama going on in my household with my roommate, so kind of got tuned out.
Dog?
But let's talk some wrestling.
Let's do it.
Before we do that, hang on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Brett,
okay.
I've actually been thinking of you all day. Got my Oregon Ducks t-shirt on. You know, go Ducks. Quack, quack, quack. Every time I, you know, see a mirror or anything, I see Oregon, I think, man, I miss Brett. I wish he was here so I could hug him.
Every time I see a mirror, I think of you too. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. awkward gay tension. Yeah. Anyways, Brooke, what do you want to talk about?
So, you know, I'm trying to come up with a little something to bring to you guys each week. Today I'm thinking about RVD. There's, you know, the rumors are flying, they kind of cooled off the last week or two or so. But supposedly he said that he signed a contract, but he still hasn't said where yet. So what do you guys think?
I mean, personally, I think it's WWE in some form, even if it's just a Legends deal and he's going to come back in a few months because they have absolutely nobody on the roster right now. But I heard that tease was for, like, some comic or stand-up comedy he's doing or something like that. And he hasn't actually signed a contract with either organization, I think.
Yeah, I did read it earlier. So go ahead, Brett.
I'll have to double check
because I thought it was like a tweet from him, but maybe I misunderstood. I'll go back and I'll double check. You're saying it's not
right. Because I want to know because I really like RVD. He's one of my favorites.
Right. Yeah, I did read earlier today that he did some kind of stand-up show somewhere over the weekend, somewhere. So yeah, like Steve said, could have been that. If I had to guess where he signed a contract, I would go with I'd go with Walmart.
I would love to see that debut.
You know, welcome to Walmart, dude. Easy aisle whatever, it's where you can find your snacks and stuff. They got Cheetos and, you know, all that stuff. Dude.
Pretty good RVD impression.
Yeah, that's my RVD impression. I hope you like it.
So I'm hoping it's WWE. I don't know. Maybe he's going back to TNA. I don't think so. I would really love to see a program between him and Punk. I think it'd be something great because I feel like when Punk's going to come back, he's not going to really be like
fitting in anywhere. Like they're going to be all up in their
dry crack and, you know, stuff and whatever they're doing. So I would love to see a program between. I'd love to see like Punk come back. You know, and they're cheering. And RVD just ruins it. Comes out, and I would love to see heel RVD and face Punk. And I think it'd be great.
Paul Heyman, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been waiting for Heyman to turn on Punk for a while.
Oh, same here. I'm expecting it soon after he comes back.
Yeah, but, I mean, I really think they'll probably turn Punk face after he comes back. I don't really see him staying a heel for too long.
Yeah.
If at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll probably bring Punk back as a babyface. But the thing with RVD, as much as I do want to see him come back, is he's not the same guy he was 10 years ago. So while I'm sure he can still have a great match, it's not going to be the caliber that he used to have. For me, that's going to be a little bit disappointing. But I think an RVD CM Punk program would be amazing.
Oh, I'd watch the hell out of that.
I've watched RVD in a little while. I mean, I fall in and out with TNA, and I know he wasn't even on there a whole lot recently. But I remember, I think him and Jerry Lynn had a match, like, in the last year or two, and it was such a great fucking match. Like, RVD still could go at it just like he did 10 years ago, longer. And I thought it was a great match. I still think he can do it. I think in TNA he was very, very unmotivated when he wasn't, like, prominently featured and just kind of dialed his matches in. And I feel like a lot of guys are like that. Like, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton, I think they're both like that. If the spotlight's not on them, they just aren't really putting in the effort to get it all back on them again. So I think it'd be great. I think he can still go just as well as he used to. He'll probably break down here in the next few years, but the pot's keeping him young.
I think those are all great points, and yeah, especially about Randy Orton not having the spotlight on him and not caring. We saw that a few weeks ago when he forgot his name.
Yeah, like, he'd rather just whine and bitch backstage than do what needs to be done on camera to, you know, get the job done and be one of those top guys that's prominently featured all the time again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, like you said, you know, bitch backstage or, you know, berate somebody in the ring for messing up or, you know, whatever the Orton thing is that he does, punting people in the skull. He doesn't really do that anymore, but, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I used to be a big Orton fan. I used to like him a lot, but as the years have gone on, he's gotten really bland. All of his moves, all of his matches are the same. And, I don't know. The party's over, I guess, for me.
The party's
like
indeed over.
Taking 10 minutes to say, like, three words.
Right.
That is true.
Or
something. punt to the head. Something, something, something. Go.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks for your call, Brett. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Later. Thanks, Brett. Later.
Bye.
Oh, that Brett Beeler, I tell ya.
Brett Beeler, my gay life partner.
I thought that was me.
But, you know, you both are. Honestly, it's kind of one of those things. I'm a polygamist. So, you know, I got you, I got Brett, I got Staples. Edwards, Learman, Monty, David Leavitt, Neve. You know, I'm a bisexual polygamist, so... You know, it's all of them. I'm just, I'm kind of a whore, honestly. That whore, as Mike Tenay would say.
So for all of you, you new listeners out there, you now know more about Joshua Presley than you ever needed to in your entire life.
Yeah, and than you ever cared to know either, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm open, you know?
You are indeed.
Why don't I...
our phone lines are dry right now. Again, if you want to call in, 347-838-9944. While we're waiting, let's get back to the Miz. We kind of skimmed over him in the beginning. Miz has been gone for a few weeks, and he's going to make a one-night appearance, I guess, coming up next Monday, taking a break from his movie. I have no idea, you know, if it's going to be the movie or what the case is, but I don't see the point in him coming back for a night.
I didn't realize it was one night. I mean, you told me earlier that he was coming back next week. I just figured he was coming back. I didn't realize it was just for one night. So, that seems kind of lame, honestly, you know. I mean, what's the point if it is just for the one night?
Yeah, what I had read in several reports was that it was a break from filming, and he was going to make an appearance next week, and then he was going to go back to filming.
Oh, well, that's pretty lame. I mean what's...
Yeah, it
I
could
mean,
just be that
do?
they don't want people to forget about him. And
right.
They want to show his face on TV and be like, hey, I'm still here, but I'm going to go away again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we haven't forgotten about him. I mean, we've been asking where he is every week, you know? And, you know, whether he's there on TV or backstage and messing stuff up for everyone, you know, he's on our minds, definitely.
Absolutely. We love The Miz. Well, I love The Miz. You like The Miz.
Well, you know, I like The Miz, you know? I don't know if I'd say I love him or not. I love parts of him. That particular part would be his fiance, Maryse. You know, she's pretty hot. You know, I love her. Parts of her, you know. But yeah, I've gone way off track. I'm sorry.
You have. I think you've scared everyone away who was going to call in. But you can still talk to me. We can mute Presley. It's okay. Call in. But this is going to come back. And I guess... I mean, I haven't seen anything from SmackDown coming up this week. I know they did the tapings tonight. I didn't get a chance to read anything. Have you seen anything about SmackDown?
I haven't seen anything about the show itself, but I do have exclusive news on a very special guest that actually attended the show. Our favorite person, one of our favorite people maybe, adult film star Kendra Lust, reportedly was at the SmackDown tapings tonight in Detroit, Michigan. How do you feel about that?
Kendra Lust. Are you
Kendra
Lust with a SmackDown?
Kendra Lust. Kendra McDam Lust.
I think we're gonna have to tweet her about that and ask her if she wasn't doing anything with Cena. Why was she at SmackDown?
Right, because I mean, well, you know, honestly, Cena probably wasn't at SmackDown. Cena's never on that show. He's too big for that show. Maybe she's just a fan, you know.
Or a fan.
Or maybe she was on the show. I don't know. Haven't read it. Who knows?
That is very interesting. For those of you who don't know, Josh and I have a nice little Twitter history with Kendra Lust that you can read about at facebook.com/kkcorner. It's buried in there somewhere, but go search it. You will find it. It is hilarious. And Kendra is actually our biggest fan besides, you know, everybody who's listening. She loves us.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was thinking earlier today, we've had porn stars tweet us. We had the NWA Women's Champion tweet us. We got big things popping here on the Dark Main Event. Steve Domain.
We do indeed, MVP, and little things are stopping. I don't know what those little things are, but they are not happening. We're only getting bigger here on the Dark Main Event.
Yes, and indeed, one could say that we are, in fact, ballin'.
We are ballin'. In fact, we are so ballin' that we are on iTunes. And for you new listeners, if you've missed any of our shows, you can go look us up on iTunes. Just search The Dark Main Event. You can subscribe to us and download the shows you missed, as well as leave us a rating, because we love to know what you guys think, for real, not for faces.
Yeah. You know, give us a rating if you want to. If you want to give us 5 stars, that's great. If you want to give us, you know, 4 out of 10, I don't think that's a possible rating on iTunes. But, you know, if you want to go ahead and do that, you know, use some math, figure out what 4 out of 10 would equal to 5 stars, and, you know, figure that out and do that. You can do that. Tell us we suck. Tell us we rock. Tell Steve he's sexy, because he is.
I am
all
a jerk.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling me sexy on the air to make up for the other comments that you said earlier about me not being your only life partner. But we're going to leave the phone lines open for a few more minutes if anyone else wants to call in. We've only had one call tonight. Again, 347-838-9944. I mean, did you watch TNA this week? I missed TNA.
I actually did not. I was preoccupied doing something else. So, I wasn't around for it. I know you were watching the NFL draft.
I was, that's true.
I read about it. Didn't seem like it was such a great show. But, you know, it's TNA, so I don't really expect much anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I know Chris Sabin's coming back next week, and I'm sure he'll blow out both his ACLs as soon as he gets in the ring. But other than that, TNA has not done much to excite me lately. The Aces and Eights versus Hogan, I don't care. Sting coming back to help out Hogan, I don't care. I saw this all, you know, almost 20 years ago in WCW. I do not care.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty much the same angle as the original NWO angle. Just not as well done, and it's not good. I don't like it at all. The fact that two guys that are north of 50, probably approaching 60, are the focal point of your company and the two main faces is just ridiculous to me. That's really all I've got to say about that.
What it looks like they're building to is a, God forbid, I hope this doesn't happen, but a Hulk Hogan versus Bully Ray match for the TNA World Championship.
I don't know if that came across on the air. I know Steve probably heard it because he just reacted to it. That was just a giant sigh. Because, I mean, really, who wants to see that? Do you want to see that?
No, I do not want to see Hulk Hogan have the TNA World title, because we know if he gets in that match, he's going to win.
Oh, yeah. Hogan does a job.
No.
No. Hogan.
Well, our phone lines are dead tonight, so I guess no one wants to talk to us. You're making us sad. We don't love you guys anymore.
What about SmackDown last Friday night? Steve, did you watch that? Did you catch SmackDown at all?
I watched the replay, because I was watching the second round of the draft. The thing I was focusing on, beside the 2-minute squash match of William Regal versus Wade Barrett, the no disqualification match between Swagger and Del Rio was pretty good. Obviously, Undertaker versus Ambrose was amazing, and the fact that he put the Shield over just blew my mind.
Oh, yeah. The ending of that match, or after the end of the match, I guess I should say, they're all just kind of brawling, Undertaker's, you know, taking them all on at once, just kind of keeping them at bay for a little while. It's pretty cool, you know, haven't really seen that yet with the Shield. It's usually just like a pack of wolves beating down a dude, you know, but Undertaker held his own, obviously, because it's the Undertaker. So I thought that was pretty cool, but the way they ended the show with old boy Reigns spearing him through the barricade there, and then they put him through that table with the triple power bomb. Those guys are going to be famous in this business one day. Like, more famous than they are now. They're going to be big stars. Maybe not all on the same level as big stars, but they're all going to be stars someday. And that, I think, put them a long way towards that.
I absolutely agree, and I think Dean Ambrose really is the guy for WWE right now, because they put him in the ring in a singles match first before really anyone.
Yeah,
and that's
they've actually done that twice, and I think they're doing it again, or they did it again tonight at the taping with Ambrose versus Kane, I think was advertised.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm gonna have to. I've been actually gonna have to tune into SmackDown on Friday. I can't believe I'm saying that, but.
Right. Yeah. I was just gonna say that might be something to check out because I mean Ambrose 2 weeks in a row on SmackDown has got himself a singles match. And if you you're not familiar with Dean Ambrose's work, you know whether it be WWE or in the Indies as John Moxley. Sorry, I can't talk tonight. John Moxley. He does great work. He's got this kind of over-the-top, crazy, psycho persona that is just amazing to watch. I highly suggest you go check it out. It's good, good stuff. Right, Steve?
Absolutely. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, has been fantastic for years. And people are just finding out about him now because he's obviously gone mainstream.
Right.
All right. Our phone lines are still dead. I guess no one wants to talk to us. So, Josh, you have anything else you want to discuss since you've got clearly a lot of topics tonight?
You know, I think I'm all out. I think it's a shame that no one else decided to call, but, you know, that happens. You know, people are just overwhelmed by the awesome interview. Speechless is what they are, you know?
They are. They are so amazed by our interviewing skills and that we got to talk to Casey, but they just don't even know what to say.
Yeah. You know, they're probably just, like, intimidated by our presence now because, you know, we talked to Casey Carlisle.
We did. It's true. So before we go off the air, we want to just remind you one more time, go check out kayfabecorner.com or facebook.com/kayfabecorner, and there's a bunch of great stuff going on in there. You guys should really go join, read the articles, read the columns, join our weekly Raw discussions that we have every week. Go look for us on iTunes. Again, just look up The Dark Main Event. We are on there. You can give out, or you can download, not give out, you can download all the episodes that you miss, including this one, and hear this interview as many times as you want, wherever you are, because iPods are everywhere now.
Yes, they are. And in addition to all that stuff that Steve just said, we're also on Twitter at twitter.com/darkmainevent. You can follow us there. We got, twitter.com/kayfabecorner? Is that Twitter for the main site?
It is, yes.
Indeed, if, you know, sometimes I get confused with these addresses. There's so much to remember with all these plugs that we got to do. So there's that on Twitter. We're everywhere. We got the social media going. We're on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night, 11:30, 10:30 Central Time. We're everywhere. We do it all.
We do.
We're Superman.
Well, no, we're not Superman because then we'd be John Cena, and nobody wants to be John Cena.
All right, fine. We're Batman.
There you go.
Batman. Or I'm Batman, you're Robin.
I'm hosting. I'm Batman.
No.
Whatever.
You're Robin.
We'll talk about this off the air. Let's not bore the people.
All right, Alfred.
All right. So for Josh, I am Steve, and for once I will say, have a great night, Internet.
Later, guys.